Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and as always, you, the fans, Big Blue Nation. As we open up the phone lines and we chat it up. I know that there are a number of Giants fans out there pretty concerned, pretty worried, pretty upset that the Giants have started the season 0-4. Hopefully they can get this ship sailing in the right direction at home as the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly and that high-octane offense comes to Jersey. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Again, 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media here at the Giants. We follow Twitter throughout the show. If you have any questions or comments, please, by all means, hit us up on Twitter. You can find us at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat. And we will share your questions and your comments on air. Paul, this is the first time you and I have had an opportunity to host a show since the unfortunate loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, 31-7. You know, for a while there, actually, I thought that the Giants actually played some of their best ball so far this season. Kansas City, a very good team, a great defense. Alex Sanchez, that offense, they manage a ball game very well. Arrowhead, a difficult place to play. But really where I felt the game took a turn for the worst was when Dexter McCluster returned the punt for the touchdown. At that point in time, then I really got a little worried. But up until that point, I really felt that the Giants were in the game and could potentially maybe win this one. Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah, they got their running game going. The pass protection against a very, very dangerous Kansas City defensive front was actually rather adequate. And the Giants forced 3 Kansas City turnovers. As you said, a Chiefs team which had not been given up the ball during the first 3 weeks of the season. So there were definitely some good things happening for the Giants there. And they had 4 consecutive defensive stops in the third quarter, even after Josh Brown missed a 44-yard field goal to the left right before the half, and that kind of hurt because that would have tied the game. And the 4 stops included 2 picks. I mean, talk about momentum killers. They did everything they could to take the crowd out of the game and to steal that game. And then the McCluster return just snowballed. And the Giants, went awry. I think it's funny. There's a tweet from a guy named Randy. It's Randy Oyo. And he has the solution to the Giants' problems, Anita. So maybe we should just kick off the show by giving this man's solution.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
He says, I think the Giants need to hear the intro music and audio bites of Big Blue Kickoff Live to amp them up.
I think the Giants need a lot more than that. But Paul, you were here on Monday. This is my first time here to the facility after the loss to Kansas City. What's the feel of this team? We heard the sound bites from what Justin Tuck had to say to the media in regards if anybody's going to turn on head coach Tom Coughlin and blame this on him, he's going to punch him in the face. I thought it was interesting yesterday.
Stomach, actually.
Oh, I thought it was mouth.
I think it was stomach.
I think it's mouth.
Is it mouth?
I think so.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, whatever. A punch is a punch.
Threats of violence.
Also, Antrell Roll coming out and saying that he doesn't think everybody in that locker room believes they could win. I mean, there's a number of post-game, even Monday, quotes from a lot of the players in this locker room that I'd like for you to kind of address, because obviously you were in that locker room post game, you were here on Monday, you were in the locker room when the players were made available to the media. What's the feel, the vibe, the attitude of this team right now, Paul?
I think they're just flat out tired of losing. I think the comment that Cullen Jenkins made was probably even more valuable than any of the other comments, and I don't think it got any play in the newspapers. Cullen Jenkins said, "We're tired of coming in on Mondays and hearing the same old thing, that we just have to fix things, we have to stick together, we have to win." He's tired of it. He just wants to win a game. Shut everybody up. Feel good for a change. Remember, they lost the last three games of the preseason, too. Now, not the preseason games count, but when you walk into the locker room after putting forth an effort for four quarters, or in the preseason's case, maybe only a quarter, quarter and a half, you want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel like you were rewarded for whatever work you did during the course of the week. Well, if you include those three preseason losses, the Giants have actually gone seven consecutive weeks without feeling good about anything. I mean, how would you like to be a five-year-old kid walking past the candy store and not getting a lollipop for 7 weeks in a row? That stinks.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Paul, let's kick it off with Maurice calling in from New Jersey. Maurice, you're first up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I would just like to say that, you know, I understand that the Giants, we're 0-4. You know, I hear a lot of gripe from my friends, but I don't think they understand that we're only two games out of the division race. Now,
Maurice, I think we lost your call, and if you want to call back, we'll see if we can get you in. Anita, he makes a great point, though. The division's a mess.
But let's talk about it for a second. The division is a mess, and granted, yes, the Giants have an opportunity to better their situation. Not only are they going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, but obviously another team in their division. I'm trying to think. Dallas plays Denver this week. Who's beating Denver? Seriously. I think the only team in the NFL that actually matches up with Denver and Brandon Flowers has to be healthy is the Kansas City Chiefs in order to beat them. I don't think that there's any other team in the NFL that really could beat the Denver Broncos. I just don't. So I think Dallas goes down with a loss, and I'm trying to think who Washington
bye.
Washington's on a bye. So, you know, if the Giants can beat Philadelphia, and again, I don't think Dallas is going to beat Denver, Washington on a bye, okay. They can better their situation with a win.
Well, the good news for the Giants is that two of their losses so far, Adita, were out of the conference, Kansas City and Denver. And only one of their losses so far was to Dallas in the division. It's really the only silver lining that Tom Coughlin has to preach to his players, and he did tell them that on Monday morning at the team meeting. He said, look, we've got all these division games still to go, all these conference games still to go, all of these 12 remaining games still to go. And there's a real good chance after the weekend we're going to be one game out of first place. That's what he's selling to his team. He's selling them mathematics because he can't sell them the videotape. That doesn't look so good.
And when was the last time that we saw that? I mean, typically we hear from the coaching staff, we hear from the players. Typically they're not paying attention to the schedule. They're not paying attention
Great point.
To what teams are playing other teams. They're not paying attention mm-hmm. to the standings. But now they are. Because they have to. They're 0-4.
That is a great point, Anita, because the stock answer that you get from a coach and a lot of players is, we don't scoreboard watch, we don't look at the standings, we don't care what anybody else does. It's all about what we do. If we win, it takes care of itself, and we'll get to where we got to go. Blah, 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 blah.
And they all say it. Not just. I mean, they all say it.
Oh, it's part of the athlete's handbook.
Right.
But you're 1,000% correct. The Giants have had to go off the handbook and create their own motivation and their own sense of reality by looking at those very standings that they're all supposed to be ignoring. It's really kind of ironic when you get down to it.
Well, when you're in this situation, you know, how often are the Giants in this situation?
They're not.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. We have Maurice back. Maurice, sorry for the disconnect. What were you sharing on the show?
Yeah, I was going to say that basically, you know, we're 0-4, but I think if there isn't a perfect situation, this is the perfect opportunity for us to get back to ourselves, to gain some confidence and momentum moving forward, because at home against Philadelphia, I think you couldn't get any better than that. And I do believe it's all a mind frame. And like you said, 7 weeks without getting a win and a kid without getting a lollipop after passing the candy store every day is pretty bad. So I believe if we can get this win, I think we can get the ball rolling.
Well, Anita, the only thing I will say about this, and I do believe in the law of positive results. I do believe, as Parcells said many years ago, winning breeds winning, losing breeds losing. I think that when you lose four in a row, it's tough enough. If you lose four in a row in the middle of the season and you're, let's say, 2-4, 3-6, it's a little different than when you start with that four-game losing streak and you are 0-4. I think that first win is so, so important. And that's why the Giants just got to get a W. Because once they break into the win column, I'm not telling everybody that it's all going to magically turn around. Please, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But I do believe that this team needs something to feel good about itself. And if that little bit of sugar that comes with a win is enough to put a few smiles on some faces and put a little spring in some guys' steps and maybe gives them a little bit more of that fight, a little bit more of that belief that we keep hearing that maybe they don't have, that would at least put them in a better frame of mind to compete. And quite honestly, they're going to have to because it's a short week going to Chicago on the following Thursday.
201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to Ed calling in from Houston. Ed, welcome.
Hey, good morning. I'd like to sound more positive. I was going to call in Monday or Tuesday, but it was so depressing. I decided to sit here and stare at the wall and just listen. And
well, you just wanted to wait to talk to the A-team, that's all.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty lively on the show yesterday. My question is the offensive coordinator. I'm not complaining about the plays or anything, but I'm just curious how he goes about forming a game plan and the way he thinks about things. There are certain coaches that will have their Bible, their playbook, and they'll say, okay, these are the plays that have worked year in and year out, and I expect the players on this roster to execute those plays. Or does he look at it from the other side and say, okay, this is the roster we have right now. Certain players are capable of certain things at this particular point in time after four games. And certain players, obviously, either they're not going to be able to or they're not to the point where they can successfully execute certain assignments on certain plays. So I guess my question for the two of you would be, does Kevin Gilbride take the playbook and jam it up the butts of the players and say, I expect you to execute my playbook? Or does he look at these guys and say, okay, Brandon Myers, for example, if Brandon Myers can't block, and it's obvious at this particular time he really can't, why would you use him as a lead blocker to get 1 yard for David Wilson? So, I mean, that's just one example, but I guess I don't understand. To me, an offensive coordinator is like a manager, and the responsibility of the manager is to get the most out of the people that he has working for him and realize their strengths and weaknesses. Do you two honestly think that he's doing that at this particular time?
And I think what you're asking is the million-dollar question that this coaching staff has been wrestling with since the season began, and it's a very, very hard thing to go against your grain and what you believe in. I do think the Giants did a little bit off the books in Kansas City, but probably too little too late, and that's why I'd like to see them do more of it against Philadelphia.
You know, it was a question that we posed to Kevin Gilbride on Thursday, and that is, you know, are you going to change, because of the struggles that you're having, are you going to change your system? And what was his response, Paul?
His response was, that's the problem. You wrestle with it. You have to try to get as much out of the players as you can, and you try to stay the course, but then again, you see things, and you've got to try to make a few adjustments that don't go against your grain. He did say, and this is one thing that they have done a little bit of. They have tried to go to a little bit more of a quick passing game. The problem is their version of a quick passing game isn't what other people's version is. You know, it's throw the ball on that fifth step of the five-step drop. That's not going to get it done when there's no pass protection. You got to get rid of the ball by the third step. And so sometimes what one person means isn't exactly what another person means.
And we've talked about this before on the show, and that is there's two different coaching philosophies. One is, this is my system, and I'm going to implement players into my system and have them learn my system, and my system works, as opposed to looking at what you have to work with, okay, and creating a system around what is there. In looking at where this Giants team is right now, Paul, and what they're struggling with and what they have. Okay, for example, the offensive line, as we know, is pretty beat up. So there needs to be certain plays that are going to help this off. I mean, the 5 and 7 stop, 7-step drop for Eli Manning is not going to work with this offensive line.
No.
It's just not.
No.
So there are certain plays that you need to create that's going to stutter, stop, not want a defense to blitz, to come after Eli Manning. On top of that, David Wilson is not the running back that fits Kevin Gilbride's system. So how do you implement, for example, I really believe that if David Wilson played for Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles, or if David Wilson played for, give me another team that's pretty.
Oh, San Francisco.
Yeah.
And the West Coast offense?
Yeah.
He'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, he's a running back that needs a playbook that's going to create space for him. He cannot create space for himself, especially behind this offensive line. So those are just two instances that I feel that Gilbride really does need to look and see what is happening here and what he needs to change.
One good
and
thing...
I don't know if that's going to happen.
One good thing about this opponent coming up, Philadelphia's defense is horrific, and specifically against the pass, and they're not getting much pass rush at all. So perhaps he doesn't have to worry so much about getting the ball out of Eli's hands as much as he did the previous 2 weeks when the Panthers and Chiefs were really coming after him. That could be a blessing. I will also tell you, Philadelphia is not doing a real good job stopping the run either. And we did see the Giants commit to the run a bit more in Kansas City. They actually ran it for over 90 yards in the game. And so that also could be construed as a positive sign.
Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. Let's go to DJ in Rochester. DJ, welcome.
How you guys doing?
Hi.
I was just wondering. I've seen that the Giants had got rid of Terrell Scott. I'm just wondering if that's going to allow David Wilson to get more carries. And I just want to know what is going wrong with Hakeem Nicks.
Well, which one do you want? You want Nicks or the running backs?
Let's talk about the running backs first.
Okay.
Okay. Talk about Darrell Scott, the fact that he was released, and I don't think David Wilson's role changes. I think if anything, Brandon Jacobs' role changes. Yes or no?
Agreed. Brandon Jacobs will now see more snaps, I'm pretty sure, not only with the ball, but also in pass protection. I think they were a bit concerned of his conditioning and his shape coming in. He'd only been here for 2.5 weeks. And I suspect that was part of why they've been working him in so slowly. But there's a little question. When you watch the Giants go into their pass-only mode, trying to come uphill against all three of these teams in the last few weeks, Darrell Scott's been taking all those snaps because the Giants don't trust David Wilson in pass protection. He's gotten a little bit better, but not nearly good enough. And Darrell Scott, they thought because of his experience, even though he's not very good at it, they thought he was the best bet. Well, it's not working out. Darrell Scott was just getting crushed as he tried to help chip some of these guys the last couple of weeks, and it really showed in Kansas City. And that, beyond the fact that he couldn't hold on to the ball, and he's had trouble, you know, with Butterfingers, the Giants finally decided enough is enough. And so he's gone. And so Mr. Reynolds, a center who played last year with the Eagles, was signed to beef up the offensive line. But I'm with Anita on this. I think Brandon Jacobs is going to see a much more expanded role against the Eagles. And by the way, he was always at his best in terms of firing up this team when playing divisional opponents. You know how much he loves to play the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins. This is where really Brandon Jacobs used to make his money.
And let's comment on Andre Brown. The fact that they let Darrell Scott go, in my opinion, that must be a good sign that maybe Andre Brown will be back as expected.
Yeah, well, he's got another 4 weeks to go because he was on that short-term injured reserve list, which sidelines you for 8 weeks. He looks good as he's walking around the facility. So apparently the rehab for him is going very, very well. And so the Giants do believe that, you know, at some point they'll have another running back there. In the meantime, I think another activation that could help them this week, by the way, Anita, and Tom Coughlin would not say if, in fact, they will activate him today, tomorrow, Saturday, whatever, is safety Will Hill, who comes off the suspended list. He is eligible this week, and he is a very good special teams cover guy. And, oh, by the way, the Giants have given up 2 touchdowns on special teams this year, so he could help in that area.
Again, 201-939-4513. Before we do...
Nixie wanted to ask about, yes, too. Why don't you handle that one?
I mean, what can you do? Eli Manning is not having an opportunity to get the ball off. And Hakeem Nicks is the number one wide receiver in this offense. So have you been... I mean, you're at the games. You're in the booth.
I'm watching.
Are you seeing the safeties cheat? Is Hakeem Nicks still getting the respect that he has?
They're trying to play more physical and try to stick to him a little bit more, realizing that it's going to take Eli only a couple of seconds to feel the heat. And I think they feel if they can stick with Nicks for that first couple of seconds... Well, by the time that Nix tries to beat them, Eli's getting hammered. You know how that goes.
Right.
The quarterback, he's got that split second. He's got to make that decision. Oh, guess what? He's not open. I can't throw it to him. That's really what's happening.
Are you seeing any kind of...
Nothing special. I'm not seeing special coverages on Nix, just that they're trying to play him tighter, at least in the initial part of the routes, from what I could tell. And that, I think, is forcing Eli to shy off him a little bit. And I don't blame him, because Eli's back there saying to myself, I don't get rid of this ball in a hurry. I got no chance.
Right. Let's continue with Big Ed calling in from Maryland. Big Ed, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, good morning.
Hello, hello,
morning.
Hello.
Wow.
Man, you're feeling good, huh?
Hey, we're going to be Philly.
Okay.
We're going to be Philly. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're trying.
Question. He got to get rid of the ball in 4 seconds. I'm going to do this real quick. He got to get rid of the ball in 4 seconds. Period.
It's less than 4 seconds, sir.
Yeah.
He's lucky if he gets 3.
Yeah, I know. But that's just it. He got to get a good 4, 4.5 seconds. If he gets out like his brother has, he can pick people apart.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Can we talk about this for a minute?
Please.
Because everybody's goo-goo gaga over the season that Peyton Manning is having. And listen, no disrespect to him, because he will go down as one of the greatest. He's the most cerebral. He's just absolutely brilliant. But look at the weapons he's working with. Look at his offensive line. This is an offense that he came in and he was willing. He implemented. He brought this offense over. He's the coach at practice. It's night and day. I got into a debate with somebody the other day. I'm more impressed with Tom Brady this season. What the heck is Tom Brady working with right now? He has no tight end. He's got 2 rookie wide receivers who have no clue what the heck they're doing. Danny Amendola's groin is torn off his bone. One tight end is in jail. The other tight end's daddy doesn't want him to play. What running game does he have? He has nothing in regard to a rushing attack, and the Patriots are undefeated. Why isn't more people giving Tom Brady, I don't understand. So, yes, you're absolutely right. If Eli Manning played in that system in Denver, he'd be an absolute superstar stud right now. Instead, he's having a horrible season, and he's being dropped in fantasy football leagues all over the country.
Who cares about that? Doesn't matter.
Let me step off my soapbox now. I'll step off my soapbox.
He's going to step back in. He's going to do what he got to do.
Don't trip now.
He's going to win the game. All he has to do is help the defense out. You know, the defense has been helping us forever. But, you know, still, it's like defense has been playing great ball. Just now the corners, we got to play attention more to that, to what I'm seeing, you know, checking into the backfield. Because you can't – and then that's the other thing I definitely wanted to make sure I mentioned, Paul. Make sure that Aaron Ross start playing the bump and run. Him and T.T. play bump and run. I think we can do that. I don't know how you feel, but I think they could do that.
Well, here's the problem right now. All right, hold on, hold on.
They have another safety with that.
Before you go any further, the Giants got an injury problem right there, because Corey Webster is nursing this hip injury now for the last couple of weeks. Aaron Ross came up with a bad back at halftime of the game against Kansas City and did not play in the second half, and we're waiting to find out today what his status is. He didn't come out into the locker room to talk Monday, so we don't know how badly he's hurting. And Jaron Hosley strained his hamstring, and he is not in very good shape. So the Giants are down to Trumaine McBride, who, by the way, played well in the second half against the Chiefs.
Yes, he did.
But just so you know, you may see McBride opposite Prince Amukamara against Philadelphia. And if that's the case, Anita, I'm telling you right now, I put Prince on DeSean Jackson and don't let him go. That would be a shadow deal for me. I would not go left-right. I would say, Prince, you got DeSean wherever he goes.
I agree. Because it gives TT a chance to play one-on-one with Avant. See, that's the key for us. If we can get playing man-to-man on the corners, our safeties can cover over the top. They're not going to let them get far because the key playing man-to-man is that bump and run. As long as we can jam them at the line, we give ourselves...
Yeah, but you know what, my friend? That works great when you've got a pass rush. And the biggest problem right now on the Giants, because I do think that the running game was a little better last week, I do think the O-line actually did a decent job against Kansas City. The one thing that we still have not seen from this team, the pass rush. Four stinking sacks in four games.
It's coming. Give them a minute. They're feeling not so good right now. It's coming. They're there. They was making some rush. But they just, it's coming.
Do you know last week, I'm going to let you go. We're going to let you go.
Right.
But Anita, I have to bring up a very scary number to you.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, the Giants' three defensive ends of Kiwanuka, JPP, and Justin Tuck each had one tackle in the game. That's it. One tackle apiece for the big three. Totally unacceptable.
Okay, what's the problem, Paul?
Problem is these guys are not winning enough of their one-on-one matchups. They're not beating their guys like they're supposed to. And quite frankly, as I've suggested to Tom Coughlin, and he did say DeMontre Moore is close to being able to help now, I think DeMontre Moore needs to get some snaps. If for no other reason, because the veterans you have in the game are not producing. So what do you have to lose by throwing this rookie in there when you know, based on what you've seen of him, what little you've seen of him, is that he can get after the quarterback. I know he's only got two moves right now because he's young and he's raw. But who has seen the moves? His stuff is not on film yet. It seems to me, the first couple times he plays, when he starts putting stuff on film, then people are going to go to school on him and they're going to learn pretty quickly what it is that he does and doesn't do. But the first couple games he plays, people are not going to know how to handle him. His speed, his power, his quickness. I think DeMontre Moore could be a very big X factor in this game against Michael Vick. I really do. If Tom is willing to unleash him for 10 plays, 12 plays.
All right, well, let me ask you this, because in games past, what Perry Fuel has done is he's utilized Jaquan Williams as the mirror, the shadow.
The spy.
Right, for Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Based on the struggles that this linebacking corps had so far this season, what are they playing? Like a four two five, right?
Right.
A 4-2,
they,
right?
They use that a lot. The 4-2-5.
The 4-2-5. Do you see that? I mean, do you?
No, I don't think he can, because McCoy's rushed for over 600 yards. If you play a 4-2-5 against this Eagles team primarily on Sunday, Shady's going to gouge you. I don't think he can.
I was just asking.
No, I think that's a bad. I think that would be a bad idea.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Dominic in Pennsylvania. Dominic, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to the Eagles game. But let me just say it. I think that we're looking for big plays to bail us out of each player, you know, playing his role and responsibility. We lean too much on Cruz, Tuck, JPP, Roll, and Eli. And that's not necessarily to say that everybody is playing up to par, so I don't want to single anybody out. I think Herzlich is playing much better, but I don't think that it's adequate enough. Hopefully he can get better. Paysinger seems to be all over the field, and he seems to be, if not the first player where the ball goes, maybe the second player. Each player has to rise to the occasion. I don't want to jump on the coaching. You know, everyone is just basically putting all the coaches on the hot seat. I don't want to jump on the bandwagon, but it just seems to me that when we told the media that we'd be running a no-huddle offense, we should put our hand in this big poker game on the football field. Defenses know, they already know what's going to happen in advance before we get on the field. They smell out our clues based on how we're lined up. When we get on the field, we have the same formations, and I understand Gilbright's system. You know, he out of the same formation, he may run seven or eight different plays. But, you know, when we... you know, let me say this. If it's fourth and inches at a time when we've had the most momentum and it seems like we can have the game changer, why wouldn't we take an opportunity to convert? I mean, at that point, we've got nothing to lose in the last game. And, you know, let me transition this by saying, who remembers the creative play calling and drives and the different look the Eagles gave us at the Miracle of the Meadowlands when DeSean Jackson ran it back for a touchdown on the last play? If you know the offensive line is weak, why can't we improvise and get rid of the ball fast? I know we tried it, and I know there were some drop passes, but we can still be more creative. I just don't like what we're doing. I don't feel like we're doing the best that we can with what we have. We need to evenly use our weapons and use creative plays as silent weapons. And, you know, this is not to beat up on anybody. It's a shared responsibility between the players and coaching staff. We have to play people like DeMontre Moore and McBride Moore. I mean, these guys, you know, I don't want to say that the solution lies with one player, but we just have to think differently. Teams are coming at us very hard, very strong. My question to you guys is what stops the bleeding at this point?
Well, you just got to get a win. I mean, that's the bottom line. And how do you do it? I think, believe it or not, the Eagles, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, I thought the Panthers were tailor-made for the Giants to right the ship after two losses to open the season. And look how that fared. So I almost hate to say this, but I just don't think anything about this Eagles defense. I mean, I think the Giants could have their way with them, despite their offensive line woes. Philly does not get after the quarterback like Carolina or Kansas City do. They don't stop the run well. Not only are they giving up tons and tons of yardage. In fact, here's the number. 450 yards a game, last in the league. 35 points a game, second worst in the league. 28 first downs a game, last in the NFL, which means they're not just giving up big plays, they're also giving up drives. Okay? First downs indicate drives. So they're not just fluke plays that they're getting hit for. They're giving up drives. They're getting munched. If I'm the Giants, I'll tell you right now, I get that running game going this week. I think that's going to help out a lot. I think Brandon Jacobs has got to get that ball 10, maybe 12 times this week. Let him start pounding away at these guys. Get Wilson the ball and hopefully get him some screens and some dump-offs and some little pass routes also to get him in open space and give him a chance to make some moves. I don't know, Anita. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, this is a very beatable Eagles team. They've proven that over the first month of the season. Look how miserable their record is. I mean, come on, Giants. Let's go. You know, get this done.
I'm probably more concerned about this game than you are then, because I feel that this Eagles team offensively can put points on the board. You know, I know there's a lot of criticism right now with Chip Kelly, and does this offense translate from college to the pros? I think there's some highs, there's some lows, but you're talking about Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, Brent Celek. These guys are very familiar with this Giants team. They're comfortable playing here. They have confidence playing here. They've won here. In this series, in the past few years...
Well, they've won 8 of the last 11 since
exactly.
2008.
Okay, so there's a confidence level as well. Now, defensively, yeah. Are they struggling? Absolutely. But on the opposite side, the Giants offensively really haven't found a rhythm. They're not having success offensively. I think in order for the Giants to win this game, I think that they're going to have to keep up the pace of how Michael Vick and these guys are going to be putting points on the board. My question is, can Eli Manning in this offense do that? I've got some concerns about that.
You should.
As horrible as the Philadelphia Eagles defense has been, I still think that there's going to be a lot of points that are going to be scored by the Eagles. And can this offense finally get into a rhythm and put some points on the board? I have some concerns.
I think if you match up Eagles defense against Giants offense and Eagles offense against Giants defense, the worst units on the field are going to be the Giants offense and the Eagles defense. Would you not agree? Those are the two worst units on the field?
Yes.
Okay. It seems to me that if you're going to pick the lesser of the two evils, I think as bad as the Giants' offense has played, I still think there's more hope that they will play a passable or an adequate game compared to the Eagles' defense, which I just think has absolutely nothing and no reason to even believe that they could play decent in a football game. And so that's why I'm telling you I give the Giants a chance, a realistic chance to go out there, and if they play clean and if they play up to their capabilities, they should absolutely win this game. Do I think that's going to happen? I'm not foolish enough to tell you that, not after what I've seen. This team has done everything it can to cut its own legs off. So do I think the Giants are going to win right now? I probably have to say no. But do I think that they are more than capable of winning? Sure, I believe that.
201-939-4513. We continue with your calls. We're with you till 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Then we have to shut down. Why? Well, we have to get ready for the head coach Tom Coughlin's press conference at 11 a.m. You can tune into that right here on Giants.com or MSG, where Paul Dottino and Roman Oben will be hosting a 30-minute press conference show. A little bit later on this afternoon, players practice. They're made available to the media. We'll be in the locker room. We'll get a lot of the players' comments. You can find those comments on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. And a quick reminder that later on today, 4 p.m. Eastern time, is Big Blue Hits Live. I want to say that Terrell Thomas is going to be our guest for that show.
It would be a good one.
I want to say that that's who we have scheduled. But stay tuned for that. And again, so set your alarms. Make sure. And that's a show that, as well, we welcome audience participation. So the phone lines are open. You can call and you can actually talk to the Giants player. Same number, 201-939-4513. Let's continue with Jamal calling in from Albuquerque. I've never been to Albuquerque.
New Mexico.
Jamal, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Okay.
I have a few questions and comments. Regarding this upcoming game and in our unfortunately pathetic season so far, are we going to keep the same old line from last week, or are we going to change it up again now that they signed this new center?
Well, the center Reynolds, who they just picked up yesterday, I can't imagine that he would even be ready for the game. What we're trying to find out right now from the Giants, and hopefully we'll learn more from Coach Tom Coughlin at 11 o'clock. What's the status of Chris Snee? Are they still considering the possibility of hip surgery, or are they going to continue to rest him? And if so, does that mean at least another week or so before they try to get him back into the lineup? B, what is the situation with center David Boss? With his neck problem, are they going to try to see if he can practice some this week and get him out onto the field against Philly? Or are they simply going to stick with Cordell and Brewer, as they did the other day? Or there's even another choice here, and that is David Deal, who was cleared to play the other day, but then they decided the better of it. He's got that hand injury, you'll recall, and they kept him on the sidelines and didn't use him at all. Given another week of practice, there's always the possibility that Deal might be inserted into the lineup at guard instead of Brewer, or perhaps even at Booth's spot at left guard, and then Booth becomes the center again. Here's the thing. There are so many ways, twists and turns,
right,
that the Giants could go with this offensive line. The bad news is none of them are great answers. None of them are automatic fixes. None of them are going to make you feel great going into this game Sunday.
Okay. Now, also, is it possible, due to the fact that our O-line is not that great with one-on-one blocking, it seems like, is Kevin Gilbert open to roll out passing and having the lineman reach block and just letting him just get out the pocket and throw it? Is that even a possibility?
I'm gonna let my partner talk about having Eli Manning roll out and move behind this line. I don't know that she'd really want to see him do that.
I just don't think that's his game. It's not. I mean, Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, their game is a solid offensive line that's going to give them at least 3 seconds. And their comfortability in the pocket, and they're able to be as accurate as anyone in the NFL in the pocket. They're just not very athletic, mobile quarterbacks. And that to me is what's so frustrating about this season, Paul, is knowing that about your quarterback, and knowing that your quarterback, you look around the league, this is a pass-happy league, and knowing that about your quarterback, how important an offensive line is when you have a Manning as your quarterback. I just, It's, you know, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart.
I need to draw on your experience for a minute. I've never actually thought about this until just this phone call. Another reason why I don't think you do a lot of rollout stuff is because doesn't a lot of rollout stuff require more improvisation and more kind of throwing the pass on the fly? And the Giants require so much discipline and so many options of their receivers, because we've all said how they need to know the playbook as well as Eli does. They need to see what he sees, and they need to run the option routes off of the same things that he sees. Well, the Giants are so precise and so specific and so detailed with their playbook. You start running rollouts, doesn't that contradict the specifics of the style of playbook the Giants have? No?
Not per se.
Because a lot of times rollouts become broken plays, and the Giants are not really built to roll broken plays.
When a quarterback is trying to get away from a pass rush, yes, it does. That is somewhat of a broken play, and receivers know what their routine is to try to come back at the quarterback, find the open space. But you can plan and call a play that is designed for a rollout. And where you have, like, for example, like a tight end drag, okay?
Right.
Where you have Eli rolling out right, you have your tight end line up strong right side,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or, I'm sorry, strong left side. You have your Y and your Z receiver. You have your slot receiver and your mm-hmm. wideout receiver run routes
opposite.
To the left.
I got you.
Bring the entire defense out to the left. Eli Manning fake.
Right.
A handoff to David Wilson left, mm-hmm. and then he rolls out right. Meanwhile, you've got your
tight end.
The flow's
going the other way.
Right, flow's going the other way. You've got your tight end strong left, now dragging right. That's open all the time.
In theory, matched up against a linebacker.
That's open, yeah. That's open all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so there's plays that you can draw up specifically to accentuate that, but that's not Eli's game.
No. And quite honestly, one of the things that I don't think Nix and Cruz do very well is break off their routes. I think they're very good at running the routes that Eli wants to throw, and he's very good at getting the ball to them when he's got the time to do it. This is not, for lack of a better term, it's not a Brady Welker thing where they've got antennas on top of their heads, you know, and have been for many years until Welker went to Denver. And it's not about running the right route or running the right play. It's just about Brady knowing that Welker's going to be there to get the ball, right?
201-939-4513. Let's continue with our calls. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. Chaz in New York. Chaz, welcome.
Yeah, top of the morning to you. I don't know. It just seems to me like when I'm watching this Giants team, and this has been the way past couple seasons, When the defense takes away their big play ability, they tend to struggle on offense. And when they don't have that big strike, you know, that bomb pass to Cruz, the offense just kind of sputters along. And I think that's why when the field is shortened and they're inside that red zone, the offense becomes almost anemic.
Your observation is correct, but you understand why your observation is correct, right? It goes back to the offensive line and the lack of a power running game.
Right. And I understand that. So one would think that knowing this, and I'm sure Kevin Gilbride knows this as well, I don't see the creativity that one would think should be there when you're having these types of struggles. Especially when you're in a position to score. When you look at their touchdown to field goal ratio within the red zone, it is so one-sided, you know, almost lopsided to favor the field goal.
I know.
And then when you look at David Wilson, who's a dynamic player, granted, yes, he does have his issues, but nonetheless, he's still dynamic. And you think for a second, you take David Wilson and put him in a Sean Payton New Orleans Saints offense, and he would flourish. And so those are just examples that kind of leave you scratching your head. Why the playbook is what it is, and I understand. You're not going to drastically make changes, but you do have to fine-tune things and play to the capabilities of your skilled position players. So that's what baffles me. So hopefully, I'm not as confident as you, Paul, going into this game against the Eagles. I'm very concerned.
Well, I don't know that I'm confident. I'm just telling you, I do think that there is a reason to think the Giants could win. I'm not nearly as pessimistic as I was against Kansas City. I didn't see hardly any way they could win, and as it turned out, that's the way the game fell. But I didn't give them any chance really going against Kansas City. I give them a chance against Philly.
Okay, and I hope you're right. For some reason, Philly always gets up for these Giant games. I mean, they could be 1-16 or whatever.
Well, they didn't last year in the finale. They quit. The Eagles did quit.
Right.
They were done.
Right.
They came to this stadium, and they didn't even get off the bus, and the Giants beat their brains in. So, appreciate the call.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
All right, let's continue with Kendall calling in from Canada. Kendall, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Boy, we're going all over the map today, Anita.
It's all good. It's all good. We welcome it, so.
I've got a comment and then a question. My first comment is Tom Coughlin's a veterans coach, in my opinion. Always has been, always will be. But given what's going on, like on the NFL.com, there's real big questions whether Snee and Boss will even be back. So we're going to get a chance to see whether Cordell and Brewer are what they're going to get a chance to play. And you're going to get a chance to see who they are and what they are. And, I mean, these are the opportunities that people have to step up to. I mean, not that long ago, who was Victor Cruz? I mean, Victor Cruz got an opportunity because Mario Manningham went down, right? So these players have a chance to actually earn some money and earn a reputation for themselves, even if they're not with this team. So that's my comment. My question is, the new guy that they signed from the new center there,
Reynolds.
I was reading a bit about him last night. I see that he's quite a big man. He's 6'4 and 320 pounds. I see that he started 14 games last year for the Eagles. So my question is the reason that he didn't stick with the Eagles this year because he couldn't play, or is it that he couldn't play in the Chip Kelly system? Is that why you think he got cut after starting 14 games?
Well, what I understood was that he did not grade out very well last season, as no one on that Eagles offensive line did. Now, did Chip Kelly look at him and say, well, he's not going to fit into what I want to do? That's possible. So I can't say if that was a square peg in a circular hole situation. But what I can say is it wasn't like he was a bowl-you-over center that just dominated people last year, because you'd have to think if he was really any good, Chip Kelly would have tried to find a way to keep him and try to find a way to utilize him somehow, some way. That was not the case. And quite honestly, you know how many teams around the NFL in the last month have been looking for a decent offensive lineman on the street? I mean, trust me when I tell you that. There's a lot of teams. It's so bad that the Cowboys brought that guard out of retirement, the former Chiefs guard, right before opening day. They brought him out of retirement. I'm forgetting his name now offhand. But that's how bad it is. The dearth of offensive line talent on the street is so thin.
And they made a trade yesterday, too.
Yeah, so you can't look at this Reynolds guy and say, oh, boy, he's really going to be the answer. I think that would be very surprising if he is.
Because the Ravens made a trade with – who did the Ravens make a trade with? Because they're trying to get in the team.
I believe it was Jacksonville.
Yes, it was. Jacksonville.
They traded their best tackle. Offensive lineman. Yeah, their best O-lineman to the Ravens. Yeah, because the Jaguars feel that they're out of it, and they wanted to stockpile some picks. So they said, okay, our best O-lineman, let's just put him out there and see what we can get. And the Ravens
why
jumped.
Why wouldn't we look at someone like that? Why wouldn't we done that?
Well, the Giants usually don't like to trade picks, to be quite frank with you.
The Giants also aren't.
And they also have a first-round draft pick playing right tackle, who, by the way, shut down Justin Houston last week to two tackles.
Well,
how many times did you hear Houston's name? How many times did he get after Eli? He didn't. Justin Pugh did a heck of a job against the Chiefs.
And I remember during the summer, everybody was upset during the draft that they drafted Pugh instead of getting a linebacker. I'd like all those fans who called in and gave Jerry Reese a hard time during the summer, where would we be now if we would have drafted a linebacker instead of Justin Pugh?
Well, they got a lot of other problems that Jerry Reese needs to address, too. Thanks so much for the call.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Adreno calling in from Queens, New York. Adreno, welcome.
It's Adriano.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think that's our first New York City call of the day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Come on, speak to us.
That's good. As far as the trade, I'm hearing the trade with Maurice Jones-Drew. We're going for Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm not sure if it's rumors or what. And I'm hearing it all over. They're saying Maurice saying that he wants to come over to New York now. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's what I'm hearing. I'm just, you know, wondering if that's true or not.
This is the first time
I can't
hearing.
Believe the internet.
First of all, I have not heard anything about that. And second of all, as we let the caller go, and I appreciate you for dialing us up, do you think that any running back worth his grain of salt would look at what's happened with this Giants offensive line in the first month of the season and say, gee, I think I really want to play there?
No, but you're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you're talking
that too.
And you're talking about probably one of the worst organizations, not just in the NFL, but in all professional sports. And he has to be totally frustrated and just absolutely miserable there. So is it a surprise to me if that was true? No, I wouldn't. It would not be a surprise. But I have not heard. I have not heard a thing. Have you heard anything?
No, not at all.
Yeah. So this
not
is
at all. And quite honestly, you know, the Giants have so many other problems that they're trying to fix right now, you know, besides trying to go out and get a running back. I just don't see it.
Again, 201-939-4513. We've got about 5 minutes left on the show. Let's go to Vic in Connecticut. Vic, welcome.
Good morning. Just a couple comments and a question for both of you. I guess, first of all, for all the callers on the and the era, if they've got a young boy in their household, raise him to be an offensive lineman. Seems to be a need for those.
Yeah. The blind side, baby, the blind side.
In a left tackle at best. If you
feed
can.
Him well.
Feed him well. Just keep feeding him. Correct. The other thing, and Anita's going to kill me for saying this, but wouldn't a really good offensive tackle on the roster be nice in Ryan Nassib's spot right now?
A tackle?
Well, no, an alignment instead of carrying three quarterbacks.
Oh.
Wouldn't that look nice versus Ryan? I know she's made a real case for Ryan over the past few weeks, though. So.
I'm not making a case for him. I just, you know, again, I know that fans are frustrated because they want to win right now. And who doesn't want to win right now? But this was an investment pick for the Giants. They saw a very talented, highly touted quarterback that fell to the fourth round. To Jerry Reese and this team, that was an absolute steal to go out, bring him into this team, have him, you know, kind of mature and develop the next few years, and see if you have the next heir apparent to Eli Manning. I mean, does this organization want to be in a situation like the Cleveland Browns? Do they want to be in a situation like what's going on in Arizona or Jacksonville? You know, you at some point in time, you have to sacrifice a roster spot to start focusing on your future. And the quarterback position is arguably the most important position in the NFL. I'll go one step further. I think the quarterback position is the most important position in all professional sports. So if you have an opportunity to quote-unquote steal a guy in the fourth round that a number of experts and scouts feel that it really should be a first-round pick, And keep him on your roster and develop him for the future, that's what this team is doing. But I understand you're looking now. This team is 0-4. They need help on the offensive line. They need better linebackers. Why are we even dealing with Nassib? Why are we wasting our time? Because that's in my opinion, that's fans that can't see the forest for the trees. It's right now. It's right now. It's right now. It's right now.
And I know we're just going to kind of you know, agree to disagree on this, because I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'm just, and that's not my question, but I see Nassib as being, you know, he might be a really great replacement for Eli someday. I don't think he'll ever, hopefully he'll never see the field while Eli is around, and I don't think he'll ever see a second contract with the Giants. And maybe he's trade bait, but that's not what I wanted to ask. I was just kind of giving you a hard time on that.
Okay, that's fair.
So let's just get back to David Wilson really quick, because you made a comment before, and I've heard a lot about this, and, you know, I like Jerry Reese, And my indication is, I know the other caller might have touched on this a little bit, but, you know, when you scout in college, when they looked at David Wilson, they said to themselves, I really like this kid for whatever reason. I would think they, when they scout, that they look at the talent and they find someone who's either adaptable to their current system or is trainable to their current system. So my question is this, is I hear a lot of talk about David Wilson. I happen to think he's a kid with a lot of talent and probably could be a dynamic punt kick returner for his whole career, if nothing else. Why did we draft David Wilson when it's been said that he may not fit the system, you know, the Gilbride system, and that he struggles pass protecting? And I know in college they probably maybe don't pass protect as much as they'd like to, but it seems the two key elements to drafting someone would be that he's a fit for your system,
Vic,
or at least a partial fit.
Vic,
and
I know where you're going with this, and I do want to answer you, and we have to get off in about a minute. So I don't mean to be rude and cut you off, but I know where you're going with this. There's different philosophies in every organization. For example, in covering the Baltimore Ravens, the way that Ozzie Newsome does with his scouts is he brings in the coaching staff, and he has the coaching staff kind of have opinion in regard to who they're curious for drafting. For example, they'd call Rex Ryan in and say, does this defensive player fit your system? That's how they do it there. That's not how the Giants do it. Every organization does it differently. The Giants have had a lot of success in the past, so you can't sit here and say that the Giants, the way their system operates, is wrong because they've had success. It's just every organization does it differently. Here with the Giants, it's all about Jerry Reese. It's about his staff, and they make the decision. The coaching staff does not have a lot of input in regard to who they draft. They're given the players that this organization feels that they covet and are great players in college, and they feel will transition well here in the NFL. And they rely on their coaches to help make that transition smooth. It's just the way that this organization operates.
And quite frankly, when they looked at David Wilson, they saw what they believed to be a very, very, very special and unique talent that they just could not let go. And that's why they took him. So appreciate the call.
So we thank you for all the calls today and for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're back with you tomorrow, same time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, right here on Giants.com. Again, stay tuned. In about 30 minutes, head coach Tom Coughlin will address the media. You can tune in right here on Giants.com or on MSG, where Paul Dottino and Roman Oben will be hosting a special press conference show. Have a great day, everybody.